We're going to be taking up an interim subject today. We consider ourselves finished with the series that we have been doing for some weeks. Today I want to begin by reading, and if you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. Inasmuch as it is appointed to men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. So we have the statement, definitive, authoritative. Nobody can dispute it. And we are told that what we see happening is not just an accident. It is not coincident. It is ordained. It is appointed. I attended a funeral just a little over a week ago for a close relative, and I just rejoiced that for that person I could feel quite complacent that she moved out of this sphere into one in which she is infinitely more content, blissfully happy. On the basis of what? We are said, just as Christ appeared once, he did that to suffer for sins, to pay the penalty for sins. We are told that he is going to appear again. And that is what I would like us to keep before our minds as we proceed with our remarks today. He's going to appear again. He appeared once. We are told that he came to his own, and his own received him not. He came to his own nation, Israel. He was rejected as their Messiah. He came to his own world, which he created. He was rejected as the Creator. But we are told that he is coming again. So although he was rejected, those who rejected him could not do away with him. That he still figures in events to come. That is a very glorious thought for such as the person that we put, whose remains we put to rest a little over a week ago. But it is an awfully fearful one for anyone who has not settled accounts with God. We are told in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, I quote for your reference, although I'm not turning to it at the moment, the King James Version: all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is everyone. Everyone that was ever born. David, confessing his sin, just absolutely despaired of any possibility that he could help himself. He said, I was conceived in sin In sin did my mother conceive me. Not that his mother was sinning in conceiving him, but that the condition of his mother and father, his grandmother and grandfather, all the way back to Father Adam, were sinners. And so that is a condition that afflicts all of us, born in sin. But we are told that the Lord Jesus came to deal with the sin question. Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, okay? So he died. He was rejected. He was hanged on the cross. Or hung on a cross. And he was nailed. There he suffered. And we are told that that was for sins. But it was for the sins of many. Only those who appropriate his death on the cross will benefit from the power that his death has provided for deliverance from sin. So there is some responsibility for us. You and I have the opportunity, the privilege of considering this proposition that God has presented to us. The Lord Jesus came and he suffered and he died. And we are told that the reason he did that was not because he was a hapless victim, but he came specifically to fulfill that, to die for the sins of those who could not die for their sins and still live. So he died so that, having taken our place, it gives us an opportunity to live, our sins having been paid for in his death. Romans 6, 21, I believe it is, says, the wages of sin is death. So we have this information. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we have that the wages of sin is death. Which means that everyone who has sinned must die, receiving the just wages. The wages of sin is death. That's my portion as a sinner. But here we are told that Christ offered himself a sacrifice on behalf of sinners. He died that sinners might not have to die. Jesus died that sinners might not have to die. So that is the offer that God makes to mankind. And that is the one that we want to remind ourselves of today. Now, maybe we can avoid death. Is it possible? Well, since time immemorial, man has been doing all that he can to avoid death. But every person who is in the society who is considered to be prudent has life insurance. Why? Why spend that money for insurance when you could use it to regale yourself in this life? They have life insurance because they expect to die. They have capitulated to that reality. And probably because they have never seen anyone who has not died. That is, of the so, the Spirit of God wants to bring before us the realities of life, so that we can have an opportunity to make prudent decisions with regard to our case. We are told that the same Christ who was rejected is going to appear again. Do you believe that? Well, that's where the reward resides, in whether you believe what God has said. For Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time for salvation. Salvation having to do with the deliverance of his people from the cataclysmic events of the judgments that will come during that great tribulation he talked about in Matthew 24, when he says there is going to be a great tribulation that has never happened in the past, nothing like it in the past, and there will never be anything like it in the future after it. He's going to deliver his people from that. But he also will deliver each individual from the body of sin that we talked about during the conference last week, that so enslaves, that so oppresses. God wants us to be delivered, and Jesus has been appointed to be the deliverer. It can be written of us. Will it be written of us in time to come? He came to Jane, and Jane received him not. He came to Mary, but Mary rejected him. That is very personal. That is something that each one has to answer to. This isn't just an aggregate affair, an offering to us in the aggregate. It's an offering to us individually. Yes, Israel as a nation rejected their king. The world as a whole rejected the Savior that God sent. But you and I have to answer that individually, personally, as well. How will the record read for you and me the time to come? Is it going to read, he came to Humphrey and Humphrey received him not? I present this to you in this very personal way because it is personal. The Lord Jesus, while he was here, Peter describes him as one who went about doing good for others. That's where, when he was rejected and slain. Why he was doing good for others. And he is now offering to do good for each of us. And the question is, will we treat him the way he was treated? On that day, as he went to Jerusalem, he was going up there. He knew that he was going to die. He knew they were going to reject him. He knew that he was going to be slain and hung on a cross, treated brutally. He knew it. But the scripture says he set his face as a flint to go up to the place where he was going to be crucified. He couldn't be turned back. And while he was going, mind you, there was a crowd that gathered. Hosanna to the Son of David. But it was a deceitful cry. Because the next day, the same people were saying, crucify him. You see, it's easy to join in the religious refrain. But if there's no conviction, when the chips are down, like all who think they have no stake in it, they run off. And so he was left alone. But he didn't stop. He didn't turn back. He went. He gave himself. He died that cruel death on the cross. And he sends to us the record of that. And he says, if you believe and put your trust in me, you can be forgiven all the sins that you carry. You cannot get rid of those sins on your own. But Jesus offers to be rid of them for you. That is good news. He's coming again. Jesus is coming again. Men just posture with all kinds of bravado. And I want to go back and read a couple of scriptures in the Psalms. So if you could turn with me first to Psalm 90, verse 12 reads, teach me to number my days, that I may present to you a heart of wisdom. Or it is variously translated, that I might apply my heart to wisdom. And that is the person who this person is asking, don't let me be indifferent to the fact that my days are not endless. They will come to an end. It doesn't make any difference how successful I've been in things that men call success. In the end, I have to leave all of my successes behind me, because I have no power to resist death. Psalm 39. The psalmist is meditating. He's reflecting. And as he reflects the realities of life, loom before him. And he says in verse 3, says, "My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned." Then, that is the fire within him as he mused on the essence of life, the reflecting on it, thinking about the realities of it. He says, "I could not restrain myself." He said, "Then I spoke with my tongue, Lord, teach me to know my end." I need to know my end. And what is the extent of my days? And what is the extent of my days? Let me know how transient I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as handbreadths, and my lifetime as nothing in thy sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. At his best. At his best, he's a mere breath. That is, the great men, whose history we like to reflect on, the great scientists, the great politicians, the great statesmen, the great preachers, whoever they are, however great they were, they have absolutely evaporated. That is, as an existence on earth. And that is a sobering thing. Now, when you walk out in the streets, or when you listen to the radio and hear the all the protestations and barking from Washington, from other parts of the world, you say, "Is this a mortal that I hear talking? He sounds like he had no beginning, and he doesn't have to worry about an end." Yeah. Men posture as though they were immortal. But he doesn't know the day that his life will end. He doesn't know the day. He doesn't. Sometimes we imagine we have to live to 70 or more. But every day we see people exiting in their very, very youth. I heard of a young man just a week ago who died. Not because he was hit by a car. Not through an accident. He just had cancer and died. 18 years old. You see, we don't have a lease on life. We don't know when the end will come. So it behooves us to be more humble and to just consider that, you know, I am just passing, a transient. That's all I am, a transient. And soon I'll be gone, and soon I'll be forgotten by men, but I want to be remembered by one who lives forever and ever and ever. That's the one I want to be remembered by. And that's the option that we have. Psalm 39 tells us, every man at his breath is no more than a breath at his best. Verse 6 says, surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar about nothing. Consider the things that men quarrel over, what they fight over. Have you ever thought about wars and how much we accomplish in prosecuting wars? Think of just the American Civil War. 600, nearly 700,000 men killed. The Second World War, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and what we're only talking about, the wars that are that are on the horizon. We don't know about all the many other wars that are taking place and lives are being lost. To what end? What's accomplished? We have people who are suffering poverty and hunger, but we are destroying trillions of dollars of our resources prosecuting wars. It accomplishes nothing but the pride of man prompts him so that he cannot resist. I must do this. My pride's at stake. And so wars break out. And fights break out. And lives are lost. And resources belonging to all the people of the world are wasted. Over and over again. And it never changes. And it won't, by the way. That's why the second appearing of the Lord Jesus is the hope for those who put their trust in him. He is going to make things right. And only when he does will things be made right. Until then, we are going to stew in the ravages of man's wars and atrocities. Your heart breaks when you hear about these terrible atrocities, some perpetrated by rulers of countries, some done by just sadists who get pleasure in seeing others suffer. Some simply the result of a moment of anger. But we all suffer, whatever the reason. We're all hurting because of the condition of the world. That's what Jesus came to address. And to the extent that he is rejected, to that extent, we are denied deliverance from that. But God will bring salvation. He says, Jesus will appear the second time unto salvation, for salvation to those who trust him. Will you be among them? Or are you too busy now just making it in this life, because there are certain goals that I've set for myself, I've got to achieve them, and that's going to make me immortal? Does it? It is appointed, we are told, Hebrews, it is appointed unto man, every man, once to die, but that's not the end. That's not the end. After this, the judgment. After this, the judgment. That judgment is irrevocable. That judgment is going to be a judgment of condemnation for all who have to stand that judgment. I'll tell you why. The reason is that some have already gone through the judgment. Yeah, God has provided that. And you will read about that in John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 24, where it says, the Lord Jesus speaking, he says, he that believes on the one that sent me shall not come into the judgment. That's right. You won't come into the judgment, but is passed from death unto life. That can be your portion today. You can be passed from death unto life. You don't have to confront that judgment. Die? Yes. But you see, that's a subject for another day. When the believer dies, it's a different story. It's a different story. When the person who trusts in the Lord Jesus dies, it's a different story. That's a story whose end you want to follow, because it is joy and peace and blessing. But for now, you have the proposition. All have sinned. Christ died for sinners. If you're willing to confess that you're a sinner and you come to him, he said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Go to him. You don't have to go to somebody of note. They can't help you anyway. Go to the alderman, to the councilman, to the senator, to the president. They all have to die. And they all need a savior. They are not saviors. They are not saviors. There's only one savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ponder it. Consider him. Trust him. And know for sure that your sins are forgiven, because he has paid the price for you to escape the judgment. For you to skip the judgment is passed from death over the judgment to life. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for the good news, and we pray that as we ponder this glorious offer this morning, that none will take it for granted that he has another day to consider it, but that it will that each person hearing it will feel thoroughly confronted by this reality and bow to the God who cannot be resisted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.